Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and joining us now is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate hearing your voice on our airwaves and appreciate your time. Elliot, explain this to me.
Okay.
Chicago Blackhawks intentionally tank this year. They sell it off to tank, and then you go through the horrible controversy and the sexual abuse that has riddled that organization with the former coaches and former coaching staff, and they are rewarded by winning the draft lottery. Make it make sense to me.
I don't think anyone's going to be able to. Look, I don't think obviously those two are not the same things.
Of course. I
don't like tanking personally, Carolyn. I if you take a look at it, it happened in a lot of places, and it's happened pretty consistently throughout the NHL. I mean, the year of Connor McDavid, there was a lot of tanking going on. The year with Austin Matthews, there was tanking going on. You know, this year there was definitely tanking going on. I don't like it, but it happens. And some other leagues, including the NBA, are riddled with tanking. And it's, you know, I'm not crazy about it. You know, the other thing, the Kyle Beach situation, I'm with you. I wasn't crazy about it when I saw it. And I have no doubt that there are people who like lived through that or had to deal with the repercussions of that, that it's very painful for them to see it. And, you know, you can't go back and change it in terms of the penalties that were given, but I don't think you're alone, Carolyn. I think there's a lot of people who look at it and don't feel great about it. And I'm one of them.
Just a horrific situation there. Speaking of that, with the first overall pick and winning the draft lottery, it seems pretty good as done that Connor Bedard will be a Chicago Blackhawk. Is he as advertised?
Oh yeah, he's legit. There's a reason that there's a reason, Carolyn, that there were teams doing this year. Over the last couple of years, you could see the talent. You could see the competitive nature of them. I understand Nashville's amateur scouts are in town this week meeting, and I'm sure if you ask them, they would tell you the same thing. We saw him at the World Juniors this year. He was incredible. He has really good reputation, too, for the way he is off the ice. You know, for example, when they won the World Juniors this year, he was asked a question, and he talked more about his teammates, and he talked about himself. His junior team this year in the Western Hockey League, they were called the Regina Pats. Like, they were not a great team. They were not, they were a low seed in the playoffs. They weren't a contender for the championship. They lost their first round in seven games. He was unbelievable. But during the year, there was this big controversy about should he be traded to a team that had the better chance to win the Memorial Cup, which is the Canadian Junior Championship. And he refused. He said he wasn't interested in the debate. He wasn't interested in being traded. He wanted to play the year out with the same team. I think a lot of people kind of understood after thinking about it why he felt the way he did. So he's a really talented guy. He's a great player. He will be a great player. But I think also that like his makeup has scored a lot of points too.
Elliot, now, Trotsky was on, Barry Trotz was on one of our morning show not too long ago, and they asked him about John Hines and you know, where is he at in his process with John Hines, and he said he's still evaluating the situation, still evaluating the coach. How do you take that? Because we are, what, a month and a half removed from the season. And, you know, when they did their press conference right after the season, you know, Barry came in and said, listen, I need to evaluate the coaching staff and everything else, and then I made my determination based on that. But now we're a month removed from that, and you're still in that evaluation stage. What do we make of that?
I will say this, Derek. I think it's unusual. You know, as I said to you last week, the biggest challenge is there's no resume of Barry Trotz as a general manager to understand what his history is and what this should mean. So we're getting a live lesson right now into how he thinks, what his process is, and we can't compare it to anything he's done in his past, which is why I won't jump to conclusions on it. As I said to you, it is unusual. This doesn't normally happen. However, I made sure I listened to the clip that was posted on your Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it says to me that it's still more likely than not that Hines is coming back. I could be totally wrong about this, but I didn't hear anything there that made me think that John Hines is in danger of being let go. I do wonder about the overall, and this is purely my opinion, I wonder about the overall composition of the coaching staff. Could some changes be being made that way? Is Trotz the kind of guy who would be the person who would say, if I'm making an announcement, I'm making one at the same time? We're not doing this in stages. We're doing it all at once. That's something I've thought of. But based on the quotes I heard the other day, I didn't get the impression that it sounds like he's leaning towards making a change. I think the one thing that I'm still curious about here is if Hines is coming back, is he going to go into the last year of his deal, or are the Predators thinking of extending him in any way, shape, or form?
Elliot Friedman is with us. Another thing that Barry Trotz said in the interview, it's just fun to listen to him talk hockey. And this is the kind of thing you guys get into sometimes on your podcast. But one observation he made about the playoffs, and there was another example last night, he said he's noticing more lopsided games, and his theory is there are teams that are young, a little more skill-based, and they gamble more. The risk and reward, they're taking more risk. And so when a team's behind by one or two, that risk sometimes is leading to a flurry of goals, and all of a sudden you've got a playoff game that's 4-0 in the second period where a team doesn't feel like they could be patient and work their way back in the game. It was an interesting thing to me, and just off the top of my head, I don't know what it's like as opposed to 10 years ago, but it does seem like there's more lopsided games with some of the firepower we're seeing.
In this round, I think so. I do believe that. I mean, first of all, I'm not going to argue with Barry Trotz. If that's his theory, it's better than any theory I've got, that's for sure. The one thing I do wonder about is, you know, the playoffs start, the excitement's all there, and everybody is supercharged, and the puck drops, and we have an incredible first round with a lot of great games. And then I think, you know, the first round, there's a lot of adrenaline. And then I think after the first round, it becomes a lot of, okay, how good are you really, and can you survive? You know, I think that there's, for one thing, I'm a big guy. John Tortorella always used to say, probably still does, there's no such thing as momentum in the playoffs. If you lose by 10 or you lose by one, it's just one loss. It doesn't need to carry over. And good teams don't let it carry over. I believe that's very true. So I think it becomes a bit more roller coaster-y. And I think there are teams, and I remember some veterans telling me about this once years ago, sometimes when you're down big in a game, you've simply got to concede, especially if you're leading in a series or there's still plenty of series to go. Sometimes it's not your night. And in that way, I think there are times like a 3-0 game can become a 6-0 game.
I also think sometimes you just get on a roll, you get the puck bouncing your way. It happens in the regular season, so it's going to happen some in the playoffs. I thought about this a lot with the Panthers leading the Maple Leafs 3-0. They had won 6 straight games. Yep. It's just hard to have everything go right in such close games that long. So I wasn't that surprised that the Maple Leafs extended the series. I'm really curious what it looks like, and you guys talked about this on your show, on your podcast the other day, coming back to Toronto at home, down 3-1, what that place is going to be like, or what range of things could happen in a game like that.
Well, my partner, Jeff Merrick, he said it would be very Leaf if they won game 4 yesterday in Florida and lost game 5 at home. And I kind of laughed about that. I thought that was pretty funny. Look, I will say this. Like, it was 12 days ago that the Maple Leafs beat Tampa and ended their 19-year playoff curse. They actually won a round. And if you would have told me that we'd be here now and all the goodwill would be out the window and these fans would be furious again, I wouldn't have believed it. And I just think that they have to give them a great effort on Friday night. I thought they played really hard last night. They had a rookie goalie making his first playoff start. He did a nice job. They did a really nice job in front of them. They protected them. They gave up very few grade A chances. Now, I think they have to do it again. As we just kind of talked about, the hardest thing in the playoffs is being consistent. And they have to be consistent 4 straight games. They've now done it once. Now they got to do it twice, and they got to do it 2 more times after that.
Before we let you go, Elliot, real quick, as you know, down here, only the diehards have probably even watched Connor Bedard play very much.
Yep.
But everybody here who's a Predator fan knows the Predators have the 15th pick now.
Yep.
In general, what are you hearing about the level of player compared to maybe other years of what might be there around 15?
This is a very strong draft. It would not be wise for me to give you specific names. I think maybe I'll do a bit of homework next week and I'll come back with those. There are drafts every year that get, just like any other sport, they're strong drafts and weak drafts. This is considered a very strong draft. And I think the Predators probably feel that they're going to get a very good player there, depending on what they decide to do.
Elliot, always appreciate chatting with you. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Awesome. You too. Yep. Thanks, Elliot. Coming up next, it is NFL schedule release day. We'll check in some leaks, what the Titans schedule is looking like, how the rest of the division is shaping up. All that coming up next on Caroline Willie, D-Maze 102.5, 106.3, The Game.